I've enjoyed these 15 days so far of prayer, just lifting God up. And I tell you, in January we do prayer and fasting. In August we do prayer and feasting, right? I'm just, you guys, if you want to not eat, you can go ahead and not eat. I'm eating, all right? So this one, but, and I don't know what it is for you, but for me personally, more than not eating food, this has been my sacrifice, all right? Getting up 4:30, you get over there to prepare over here. This prayer 6 in the morning, and I've started feeling weird on days where I wake up and the sun's already up. It's just a weird feeling, but it's been a learning thing for me, or a sacrifice for me, probably more than giving up food. It's been fun. Actually, this last week, my wife didn't want me to tell this story. I woke up on Tuesday this last week. I woke up in the shower. Like early morning, it's 4:30 in the morning. I woke up with the water hitting me, and I looked down and I had my socks on. It was a beautiful, like, it was just real spiritual moment, you know, in the morning right there. Just who am I? Where am I? But hey, there's a lot of good praying went on that morning. But it's been an awesome time. We just been bringing up the sun with our praises, and then we had the night service just ending the day, just praising God and praying. And so I encourage you, come out with us 6 a.m., 6 p.m. And the reason we do the 21 days, it's simple. The reason we do them is God is asking us to do something that is beyond our ability to do it. A lot of us, we have areas, or a lot of us have a lot of areas in our life where God has called us to do something that we can't do on our own. And so there is a need in our lives as Christians to have a supernatural component. God never intended for you just to be a natural person all the time. It's always natural. So prayer is that touching of the supernatural, where heaven meets earth. And so we've had this series that we've been talking about prayer. We've had the 21 days, and we've got a theme verse for it in 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice always. So that's the first verse. This is verse 16. So if you want to memorize a verse, start with the two-word ones, right? Rejoice always. And then the next verse, verse 17, pray continually. And we'll go back to that one, back to the 16 through 18. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is. And so if you ever wanted to know what God's will is for your life, a lot of times that is like the number one when we do the You Asked For It series. That is always one of the top questions, is what is God's will for my life? What is God's... If you wanted to know what it is, here it is. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you have a life that is in touch with heaven, and prayer is that touching of heaven, when heaven meets earth, to pray continually. So here at Victory, we have a rally cry for these 21 days. And you guys, you might have learned it the last 2 weeks. We have a rally cry, and that is just, we're going to pray first. We're going to pray first. And so before we do anything, and we're going to act. It's not saying that we're just going to, you know, hit our knees in prayer. We're going to act, but we're going to pray first. So before we do something, before we wake up in the mornings, and we wake up, and before we get out of our beds, we're going to pray first. And before we go to bed at night, we're going to pray first. Before we go out in a drive, or we're getting in the car and about to leave, before we leave the driveway, we're going to pray first. It's just two words, guys. Not difficult. Just two words. We're going to pray first. And so this has been our rally cry throughout the whole 21 days, as we pray first. Before we get that credit card out and hand it over, right? We're going to pray first. Some of you guys, you got in on that rally. Pray first, honey. You know, just come on. No, it's two words, not three, right? It's just two. But in every situation, we're going to seek God first. And it's like we're bringing God into every situation. Because the prayer, the other translation of this verse in verse 17, says, never stop praying. And so what does that mean for our lives? It means we're going to bring God into it. What would your life look like if in every situation you brought God into it first? Instead of just, okay, I think I can handle this, or I think I can go into that. No, we're going to pray first. So Lord, before I have this appointment, I just need your presence here. I need your wisdom in it. God, before I send my kids off to school, I'm going to pray over them. I'm going to bring you into every situation. I'm going to pray first. And so one of my favorite quotes is from an English revivalist named Smith Wigglesworth. What a great last name, right? He had a resurgence like in the 90s and 2000s, his books and his things. But one of my favorite quotes from him, I'll never pray more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying. And so we want to become the type of Christians that bring prayer into every part of our lives. We're going to pray first. Pray first. That prayer is not just this quiet time event in the morning where I kind of check the box and then I go the rest of my day. No, I'm going to tell God, hey, I'm putting you first. Every situation that happens, every dilemma, every time with our spouse, every time we have a problem or anything, and we're going to stop, we're going to pray first. And this is the promise. So it's out of Philippians 4. This is, and I want to speak this prophetically over someone today. Just this idea from this verse, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request
to God. So with Thanksgiving, like, you're already thanking God for it before it's even happened, right? You're already expecting God to move. We talked about that with your faith. And here's the result that I just pray over every one of you today. And that the peace of God, if you do this, if you have prayer first, if you go into it with prayer and petition, by everything with prayer, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You're going to be different if you pray first. Your life will be different. I want to show you kind of what we're doing during these 21 days. And you've heard us talk a couple of times. We got these little rubber bracelets we had printed off, and it has something printed on it. Can you guess what it is? Well, pray for you guys. Are bright church this morning, right? Real, real bright. We have 20 of these. And so if you made 60% of the prayer, no, I'm kidding with you. We got one for everybody right this morning. All right. We've got one of these. So if you had to have one already, grab one to give away. Everybody can take one. If you're visiting with us, we want you to have this bracelet to pray first. And it's just a reminder of the rally cry that we're going to pray first. We'll have them at all the exits, at the exit at the end today for you guys to take. And so it's just this reminder to pray first. And here's why I want you to wear them, all right? I want you to wear them until it becomes a habit. Like you don't have to wear this forever, right? I'm going to take mine off, just so you know, okay? I'm going to take mine off. It's not going to be like, where's your bracelet, right? Like a entrance to the church, right? No. It's not going to be like that. But I want you to wear it until it becomes a habit. Because a lot of us, if we're honest, we've gotten out of the habit. If we're really honest with each other, all right, if you just sat down with me, we looked face to face, we've gotten out of the habit of praying first. We try to do it on our own, and then we try to do it, right? Our kids are going off to school with, wait, did you do your homework? You forgot your belt. That's the last thing they hear before we send them off. Instead, it should be, God, I bless them and keep them. Let them be a leader, not a follower. Let them go and bless them and go in Jesus' name. Because they're late already, right? You already feel the tardies creeping up. Or God, help them to remember all the things they did not study, right? Just, Lord, let them bring that. You prayed that prayer, right? You know that prayer. Just bring it to their remembrance. Oh, God, help them, Lord. But we've gotten out of the habit in our offices, with our spouse, with dilemmas at home, with things that we do, everything that we've done. We've gotten out of the habit of praying first. And so if you'll let this happen, if you'll let prayer work its way into every part of your life will change. I'm going to pray first in every situation. Every situation, I'm going to pray first. And so we'd love for you to have one of those, take those with you. Like I said, take another one if you want to give it away. Just wear it until it becomes a habit in your life. But this series, this pray series, has one goal, and that is to help you pray. As we go into this, it's not the last half of the year, but it feels like it. It feels like these last 5 months are just they just ramp up and they just get crazier and crazier as we go. We want you to have this to remind yourself to pray first. And like I told you, today is day 15 of the 21 days, and it's been awesome so far. We've been just seeking God. But for a lot of people, a lot of you in the church, it's almost been this idea, okay, I'm kind of ready to be done with it. I'm kind of ready to just come out of these 21, you know, just stop talking about it all the time, stop doing it. It's prayer has become almost a chore for a lot of people. And we know that we need to do it. But the problem with a lot of us, though, is we know we need to do it, but we're not really. So just, you know, I hear it. And so I'm going to start doing it better for this kind of season, but that's going to kind of drop off. And so what I wanted to do is just kind of bring a message right here before we've ended the 21 days and just call it day 22 prayer. Like, what happens after the 21 days? And so I want that to kind of get into you. And I wanted to preach it now instead of next Sunday, which is actually day 22, because I didn't want to lose the momentum of prayer. I want to do it now while you still have a chance, still have a week to sort of work these things in with the rest of us as we try to kind of work in these principles that I'm going to talk over this morning. And that way, when we hit day 22, you hit it running. You hit it just working prayer into every part of your life. And so unfortunately, though, for a lot of Christians, it's something that we feel like we need to do. But I find probably less than 10% enjoy it. So it is like this chore. It is this thing that we have to do. What if you knew how to do it so well? What if you had such a time in your prayer that it was something that you looked forward to so much that there wasn't enough time in the day to get in all the prayer that you wanted to do? Like, what if you looked forward to that? And so I feel like that's my assignment this morning. And so we had the first week where we learned how to pray. And we just taught you out of the Lord's Prayer, just from the Master himself, how to pray, just the seven elements, just looking through the Lord's Prayer in your own daily life. And then last week about being a fighter. And so this week, I just thought I'd make it as practical as possible. All right, this week we kind of gave you those ideas and themes for it, but I just want to make it as practical as possible, how you can get prayer into every part of your life. How you can be a day 22 type of praying Christian. How you can make it
making it happen. So just a little more practicality. And this is my kind of, I don't know what you say. This is my agreement with you this morning. Is take all of these, write them down, try it. Take 7 days and just try it. All right, give me that. Just try it for the next 7 days and see if it doesn't change your entire prayer life. See if it doesn't change the way that you approach God. And so I love this. It's out of a challenge from Jesus in Luke. And he says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should, and say these words with me, always pray and never give up. Always pray, always pray. So how do you do that? And so here's part of the rally cry that we've done. It's a little bit of a continuance on pray first. And that is that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. That's the first kind of idea for you this morning. It should be our first response, not our last resort, because that's what prayer is sometimes for a lot of us. It's this 911 fire alarm, help me. When instead prayer should be our first response. So we are going to act, but we're not going to act first and then ask God to bail us out. That's not what our prayer life is going to be. We're not going to do things and then say, oh God, just bail me out, oh Lord. No, we're going to go into prayer first. God, what is your will for this day? God, I want to honor and I want to serve you. What is your will for me here? Or this decision or whatever it is that you're facing, we're going to pray first. It's going to be our first response instead of our last resort. And there's a verse that I was reading this week during the prayer nights. It's in John. And I want to read it with you, but I want to kind of stop on the first word. And I highlighted it for you. And I just want to kind of focus on this morning. This is kind of the goal of the message. It just says, remain in me. And this is Jesus talking. And he just says, remain in me. And it's the goal of my message this morning, that as we begin to pray, as we begin to live our lives, that we become remaining kind of Christians, that we continue to remain in me. Because the problem or the challenge for us, especially in the Deep South, and I want you to hear this clearly for me, that the challenge is we all grew up in church, or a lot of us grew up in church. And so we grew up with this idea of, you know, I go to church on Sundays and I've got my spiritual place and I maybe ramp it up around Easter and then I always make Christmas. And you know, I kind of check off that box on a Sunday. But Jesus is saying, not just on Sunday, not just on whatever it is, remain in me. And I want you to understand what authentic Christianity is when you get this, you say, well, this is my spiritual place. It's when you get this spiritual place into all your other places. It's not just this idea that you come and check a box and you're in this spiritual room or something. It's when you get this into all of your other places. And prayer is the way that you do that. Prayer is the way that you get this space into your other spaces. And God never intended to be your Sunday God. He never intended to be this idea that you come and you just sing and praise and then, okay, thank God that's over for the week and we're just going to move on. He never intended for that to be. He wants us to live a remain kind of life. He says, as I also remain in you. No branch, so he's speaking metaphorically. So back to verse 4. He's speaking metaphorically. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So he says, you know when you cut a branch off, right? If you must remain in the vine. You know if you cut it off, if you go on your own. And basically, it almost feels like Jesus is saying, try it and see how it works for you. Try, and I know in your own life, I've heard your guys' testimonies and different things. When you try this, it doesn't work. When you try to live a life that bears fruit, or you try to live a life that has meaning or purpose, and you do it apart from him, it doesn't work. He says, you must remain in the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He's speaking, right? So if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So if you remain, you become a remaining kind of Christian. You work this into every part of your life. You work this into every part of your life. Then you start to see that you start to bear fruit. So the things that you're trying to do, they work better. So the parenting goes better. The marriage relationship does better. The business does better. Everything you're trying to do for the kingdom of God starts to actually bear fruit if you remain in him. And so what my goal this morning is that you would become a remaining kind of Christian. If you hear nothing else, that you would become a remaining kind of Christian, staying in Christ. And prayer is the way that we do that. Prayer is the way that you work this into all your other parts of your life, because we're going to pray first. Before every situation, before everything, we're going to pray first. And so I got four principles for you this morning. These are that I have learned. I never preach something to you that I haven't. I don't lock myself in a room, right, and just generate things, right, that I think I should share with you. These are things that I've learned in my own prayer life that have changed the way that I pray. And I just want to share them with you. So in the hope that it does the same. Just four principles. And they're very, I mean, these are as practical as I can get to help you be a day 22 prayer kind of Christian. A remain in Christ prayer kind of Christian.
And so the first one, here's the first one this morning, and that is the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. And so I'm just offering it to you, and this is what our prayer rally starts with, and that is we're going to pray first. It's moving it into the first part, because all of you have priorities. Whether you label them as that or not, you have things that you do first. Whether it's, you know, take your socks off in the shower, whatever it is, you have priorities that you do first in the morning. And you set it, and putting the thing first, having the priority of prayer, what would it look like if when you rolled out of bed in the morning, those were the first words out of your mouth? God, I just want to honor you. I want to serve you today. I just want to have it. Just two sentences sometimes, just simple. God, I just want this day to honor you. Just show me what you want me to do. And then you go about it. What if you put prayer first? Because the first does a couple of things. The things that you do first. Even in Scripture, it's so important about the first. The things that are done first. And the first thing that first things do is they communicate to the person that you're doing them for. There's this sense of priority and it gets their attention. But the other thing that they do is they set the precedent for the rest. And the way I liked it, I heard it said once, is the first has the power to bless the rest. And so you put that thing first and it sets the precedent for the things before you. You're telling God, you are more significant than these other things. I'm putting you first. And I want to encourage you to pray throughout the day. I want you to begin to work that into your life. But there's something about the morning. There's something about when you wake up that you put God first. And it doesn't have to be with us at 6 a.m. It can be wherever, but just wherever you come out of bed or whatever you start your day, you begin to put God first. I'm telling you, it gets the attention of God and it sets the precedent for the rest of your day. That's why the early Christians changed the worship experience to the first day of the week from the Sabbath to Sunday. The first reason was because Jesus resurrected on the Sunday. And then the second one was that we're kind of telling God, hey, here's the first part. We're going to start this thing before we go to school or our jobs or whatever it is we're going to do. We're going to start our week putting you first. It sets the priority. And we're telling God we can't do it without you. So when you start with prayer, you're telling God, I know that the rest that comes after this, I can't do it without you. And I think sometimes this is why some pastors preach this wrong, or maybe with the wrong motivations, this idea of the tithe. It's not about an amount. It's about the order. You're not giving money so we can finance a church. You're giving money because you're saying, God, okay, in every part of my life, I set you first. In every part of my life, I bring it to you first. And I'm asking you to think about that with prayer, the priority of prayer. God, before we look to anything else as our resource, we're going to look to you. Before we do anything else, we're going to look to you in prayer. We're going to pray first. And watch this in Daniel. I love Daniel's prayer life. And it says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, so this is a decree that says he can't worship God. No one can worship anyone else but the king. Look what he does first, what he goes. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. And I love this phrase, and just as he had done before. And so Daniel had this prayer, this routine. He knew when he prayed to his God. And a decree wasn't going to change that. And so what I want to kind of challenge you with this part this morning is make an appointment with God and keep it. Whenever that appointment is, make an appointment. So those of you who use smartphones or calendars or whatever it is you use to kind of keep your daily track or where you know you write it on your hand or whatever it is you do, make an appointment with God and keep it. And so that way when someone says, hey, you want to go get coffee? No, I have an appointment. You don't have to tell them what it is. But you have that appointment with God. You've set aside. You've said, okay, this is a priority. This is not just I'm just filling in the blanks with my time with God. No, I have this time set aside. Make the appointment and keep it. And watch that this week. If you take my 7-day challenge, if you just for 7 days you try this, watch the way that your prayer life changes. Watch the way the dynamic of your life changes. If you make an appointment with God and you keep it. And I said it doesn't have to be 6 a.m. with us or 6 p.m. It can be 2 to 3 at your office or over your lunch break. Whenever it is, set that priority. Say, okay, this is my time with God. And meaning is going to get brought to every part of your life. When you begin to pray first, here's the second thing this morning, and that is you find a place of prayer, a place of prayer. So you have the priority, you have the time set, the appointment with God, you're going to keep it, and then you have a place of prayer. If you want to have a lifestyle of praying, be a remaining kind of Christian, you find that place, and the Bible talks about this, that Jesus had certain places that he would pray. And if you're a Christian, you kind of know what this term is. If you're not, maybe you don't know this one, but a lot of times Christians will say their prayer closet. And they're not actually talking about a closet most of the time, right? Sometimes they are, but they're talking about the place where I pray. A place that I go to. For me personally, I've got to move. I've got to cover ground. And so I either drive my truck or I walk a long, long, long way. When I was in college, as prices of gasoline went up, right, I just started walking more. It's real spiritual why I changed. But I've got to move. And so I either blast worship music on my truck speakers or I've got headphones on, but I just have to move to pray. And whatever your prayer place is, my wife, she doesn't have to move, right? She has a little mat behind our couch in our house, and she just needs her Bible, right, and her prayer. That's her prayer spot. And I got up to get water a couple of weeks ago. She scared the ever-living life out of me coming around. But that, praise God, that is her prayer spot, all right? That is where she likes to pray. We're going to try to change that, right? I'm going to, come on, go drive the car or something. I don't know. But you have a place. Where's your place where you pray? Just have a place that you know that I've made this appointment and I'm going to go to this. I'm going to lift you up. And so watch this in Mark chapter 1. Jesus, very early in the morning, so there's the priority. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. A lot of scholars believe that before the Garden of Gethsemane, before the cross, that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives many, many times. That was his prayer place. And he would go up there, and it wasn't just because it was this beautiful garden or they had the olive trees or whatever it was. I had a chance to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's because there's this vantage point that is of Jerusalem that is unbelievable. There's this picture. And so I can just imagine Jesus getting up early and kind of weaving his way through the olive trees. And he gets there and he looks out over the city that he loves. And he begins to place. He had a place. What is your place of prayer? And I don't know if it's at your office or if it's, you know, in your car or whatever it is, have your place of prayer. And the challenge, though, for us, kind of the fight of our place in history, is that they say that we have now a third place. You have the home, your home life kind of inside. That's your first place. And you got your school or your work. It's kind of your second place. And they say now, though, in our generation or in these years, this part of history, that they have the third place. And that is your virtual place. And so that's your Facebook place or your Instagram place or your Snapchat place, whatever it is. You have this virtual place, this place that you're living, but you're not really living, but you are. And for a lot of us, that place has become all consuming. And so if I can just give you a challenge this morning, it's go to the prayer place before you ever touch that place. Have that place, and this is just my own discipline. I'll share it with you. If my computer is on, I'm not making it to the prayer place. All right? If my phone is out and on and not on airplane mode or whatever it is, I'm not making it to the prayer place. In college, I had a spot in the library back in the back corner of the third floor where there was no cell reception and no Wi-Fi. It was like the heaven on earth if you wanted to study for something, all right? It was just, and nobody went there, go figure, on a college campus. But they had one desk there with one chair, and it was always empty. And so that's where I would go. I encourage you in your prayer life, find that spot or make that spot. When you find your place, cut it all off. Don't never go to that virtual. So for me personally, I never go to that place until I've had time in the prayer place. Until I've had time in the prayer place. I just want to challenge you with that. And for you, it might be walking in your neighborhood. It might be driving your car. It might be at your office. For some of you, it might not even be a physical place. It might just be a place that you let your heart and your mind go to. That wherever you are, you're able to shut out all these other things and get that place of prayer. If you're going to make this stuff work every day. The third one this morning, I got four for you. The plan of prayer. The plan of prayer. So you got the priority. You got the place. Go into it with a plan. Anytime you're going to have a meaningful relationship, there's got to be some kind of plan in place, right? You don't tell your wife you're going to take her on the best date ever. And then you guys get in the car and just, well, where do you want to eat? Right? You go into it with a plan. Or you do that, but you only do it once, right? Because it's never happening again, right? You go into it with a plan. And so we have given you guys the last 15 or the 14 days of the staff pastors. Every night and every morning, we preach just different prayer models. Just 5-10 minutes of teaching. We'll have another one tonight. Just ways that you can pray. And so I encourage you, when you go in there prepared. And I promise you, it'll turn from this. It'll turn from, okay, I'm just looking at the clock. I've been in prayer meetings where all you do is stare at the clock. You just think like, you remember, I heard a story once that when Elvis would leave the stage, he would come back and do encores. And then someone would get up finally when he had finally really left. And he would say, Elvis has left the building. And I've been in some prayer meetings sometimes where I wanted to get on the stage and just say, God has left the building. Right, I've been in some prayer meetings where people get up and I'm telling you, they just, I'll stop right there right before I get it. And I just want to, I'm telling you, if you go in with a plan and a purpose, you say, okay, I'm going to meet with God for this, with some kind of, it will bring meaning. It'll go from, okay, only a minute, only until I need 10 more minutes. I've got to go, but I just need, God will pick it up at the noontime. I'm going to pray. It goes in where you go from have to you just can't get enough time to go before God and to pray. And so we've given you those models. The first week we did on the Lord's Prayer and just working through those models, and then spiritual warfare, ways that you can go to war. And then prayer, you got the prayer of Jabez or the tabernacle prayer. We're going to teach these. And so I encourage you, just have a plan. Get some prayer guides. Get some things. And then I've got a piece of paper that I go with that I pray over people's names. And so I just start with my family and the ones that I'm over. And I begin to pray over them, my wife and my kids. And then I just begin to pray over some of the staff here in the ministries of the church. And just begin to lift them before God. And then I pray over you guys. And I begin to lift up your marriages and your families. And I just begin to pray. And then I've also got a blank sheet of just notebooks that I keep where if I forget something or God gives me something, I'm going to forget it by the end of the hours. I just write that down. If God's giving me ideas for a message or a series or whatever it is, you go in with a plan, and sometimes you won't do it. Sometimes you're going into prayer just with one thing that you're going to pray, but go into it with a plan every time. That way you bring meaning to it. And I love prayer guides because they give you scriptures to pray. If you got nothing else to do, just begin to pray scriptures and just begin to believe God that his promise still stands. We sang that this morning. Believe God that he is good. I love that verse in Jeremiah. Ah, sovereign God, it's you who's made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for you. When you go into prayer, believe that. Begin to claim that. There's a verse in the Psalms that says his promises never fail. His promises never fail. Begin to pray those. If you incorporate these dynamics, I promise you, your prayer life will change. I promise you it will. Did you guys get anything this morning? Anything out of this? All right, good. All right, you with me? All right, so here's Jesus. He had a plan. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught. So Jesus is praying, and so the disciples are peeking, right? They're like following him behind the trees, kind of peeking out. And so he must have been praying out loud because they've heard him pray. And so what they're saying is, Lord, teach us. They knew how to pray from birth. These are guys who are Jewish. They've grown up and they know how to pray. But they want to know, how do you pray like that? Because you seem to be connecting with the Father. So we want to know, John taught his disciples to pray. Come on, teach us. Teach us how to pray. And so Jesus looked at him and he finished with this. He says, this is how you should pray. And that was week one. That was learning the Lord's Prayer, how you should pray, how you connect with the Father. Go into it with a plan. So you got the priority of prayer, the place of prayer, and then you got the plan of prayer. And so here's the best one of the day. Here's the best one. And so this one has the ability to change your entire Christian life. So I just want to get you ready for it, all right? Here it is, the persons of prayer. The persons of prayer. And you notice I've capitalized the P on this, the persons of prayer, because I'm talking about the Godhead, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Now that I'm in my place of prayer, that I'm there, it doesn't become about my plan of prayer. It doesn't become about my songs. It doesn't become about any of that. It becomes about God. Connecting relationally with God. And so each one of the persons, you ready for this? Each one of the persons of the Godhead, of the Trinity, has a different person. You relate to them differently. And this will change the entire way that you pray. You relate to them in a different way. When you relate to them in those ways, it brings meaning to the relationship. Because and understand this, I believe that scores of people have grown up with the wrong relationship with God because they've had the wrong view of God. And your view of God will determine your relationship with God. Viewing him correctly will determine the relationship that you have with him. Your view of God will change it. So let me put it this way, that your view of God determines the relationship moving forward that you have with God. The way that you view him, it determines that relationship. For a lot of people, you didn't grow up with a biblical definition. You grew up with religious ones. You didn't grow up with a biblical definition of God. I did four years of college in Tennessee, and I went to every denomination under the sun. I made it a game to see how many different churches I could hit in those 4 years. And so I think I went over 50 churches in those 4 years in Tennessee, just all around every denomination. You think you have seen some wiggity whack stuff. I have seen the wiggity wiggity whack stuff, all right? So I've been in those, but the one that sticks out to me the most is a little church that I was invited to go play bass guitar for. And so I had a chance to go through 8 or 9 different services there.
But the pastor there, it was this hellfire and damnation church. And the pastor there was just a little bit, he was just a little mad, okay? He was just always just a little bit mad. And I remember thinking, if this is all that people have sat through, if this is all that they have grown up with, then they can only come to the logical conclusion that God is always mad. If they have sat through this thing, and while I was studying for this message, I went to look, and lo and behold, they have started streaming on Facebook. This little church, and just about, I think there's 15 of them, and the pastor, and he is 10 years madder, right? He is still going at it, just shouting and screaming. And so I watched a little bit of that, and then I turned it off. Hey, amen. I could just click the X button and just turn it. But it was like his finger was 9 feet long, and he was always pointing it at somebody. Always pointing it. And so I remember one service on a Wednesday night. I was sitting in this service, and it was me and about 15 other people. And he got up there, and he started just on one of his rants and raves. And he started naming names and just calling people. And I remember sitting there like, I don't think I'll introduce myself to this pastor. I don't think I'm going to tell him my name. I just don't think that's a wise. And so I didn't. He never learned my name. I remember just thinking, these poor people, that if this is all they have, all they can think is God is always angry. God is always mad. And even when he would pray, it would be this coming voice like, oh, Lord, don't hurt us today. Oh, Lord, don't hit me. Don't, you know, just going, just cowering and begging and going in. And it just was this I couldn't imagine what kind of life where that's all you view God as. And for some of us, you've grown up with this idea, or it's a tally point system where if you do go begging, you're not going to get what you asked for because you got to go out that next week and live the right kind of life. And then maybe next week, God will give it to you. It's so twisted view of who God is. So incorrect. And so I don't know if you relate to that at all, but I'm telling you, your view of God will determine your relationship with God. It will determine the way that you pray. And so it becomes imperative. If prayer is going to be something that we enjoy, something we just can't wait to go and meet with God, we have to see him in the right light, in a biblical light. And so it is my honor this morning to introduce to you the Godhead. As the Bible describes, as the Bible is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to do it in such a way that you're going to say, oh, if that's how God is like, then I can't wait to spend my whole day with him. I can't wait to pray first. If that's what God is like, I can't wait. And one of the best descriptions of it is in this verse. It's in a benediction. And a benediction is just the end of a prayer service or the end of a book or a letter. It really is the end of a prayer is what a benediction is. And so this is Paul ending his prayer or ending his letter to the Corinthians. And he says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And he introduces us in order to the Godhead. And so the first one, the amazing grace of Jesus. The amazing grace of Jesus. He says the first part, when you come in prayer, the first thing you have to understand is Jesus. The first thing you have to understand, Jesus. So let me introduce Jesus to you. Jesus is the reason that your prayers are heard by God. The reason that your prayers are heard by the Father is because of Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the in-between, the connector between those. The reason you are even saved is because of Jesus, the extravagant grace of Jesus. Romans says that right now Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He is the mediator between. We spent June, the whole month of June, we had the series Walking with Jesus, just looking at him. And we looked at him as our shepherd, as our healer, as the one who cares for us, as all these things. But one of the greatest characteristics of our Lord is that he is our advocate. 1 John says that he is our advocate before the Father. That he goes and brings. Jesus is the mediator. I don't know about you, but that changes my understanding. It changes the way that I speak when I pray. Knowing that Jesus is there between me and God, that he is the one, the mediator, he is the one between. That he wanted it so much to connect us with the Father that he went to the cross and he died for every sin that we have committed to forgive us and every sin we will commit. That he went to the cross for us, that he so desired us to have that relationship with the Father. And that changes the way that I relate to him. That I relate the extravagant grace, the cross of Jesus. I want to show it to you in Scripture in Hebrews. It says, for we do not have a high priest. So the high priest is the mediator. That was the mediator between them and the Father. He said, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We don't have one who's unable. So it's not like we don't go into prayer with a thing where he's just, are you serious?
You're in here again with that. We don't have a high priest who's like, you're coming in here third week, 3 weeks in a row, you come in here with that junk. No, you gotta get your act together. No, we don't have that. We have one instead. One who's been tempted in every way. And the word tempted there doesn't just mean temptation. The word there, another translation says he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, everything that you have gone through, everything that you endure, Jesus has endured. It's why he had to spend 33 years on this earth. If he wanted to just come and die, he would have just come and died. But he spent 33 years on this earth going through, walking through, so that when you have a temptation, so that when you go through something, so that's when you have to endure, you don't have a high priest who just says, get out of here with that junk. You have someone who says, I know, I got it. He knows and he cares. He knows and he cares. And that will change your prayer life if you begin to see Jesus in this way. And the only difference between him and us, and this is what it says, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The extravagant grace of Jesus. The amazing grace of Jesus. So we can go with confidence before him. So then you say, well, what's my role? And then it's in 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So you want to know what your role is. Your role is when you come in and you say, God, I did it again. I know I can't do it without your power. Jesus saying, okay, I get it. My power is made strong in your weakness. Your only job is to be weak. And he said, I can make that strong. Your only job is to come as you are. And Jesus says, I can change you. I can save you. I can change your life. And so when you toe to Jesus and you experience the grace, he says, okay, I get it because I've been there. I understand and I get it. That is 87% better preaching than you are amening right now. All right. That is good stuff right now. I don't care. The amazing grace of Jesus this morning. All right. I'll amen myself if I need to. Okay. So now you're with me, right? Are you with me? The second one, the other one I want to introduce you. The second is the extravagant love of God the Father. The extravagant love. And the real tragedy for a lot of Christians is their earthly father experiences is clouding or polluting their heavenly father experience. A lot of people, when we say that word father, it just brings up pain or rejection or whatever. I didn't like the man, or I didn't know the man, or I didn't. And a lot of times Christians say, well, let me just call God king or master or Lord. I'm more comfortable with that. But he can't just be, if he is a king, he is a master, he is a Lord. But his favorite name to be called by you is Father. His favorite name is, and it's even in Ephesians 3. Paul has a prayer in Ephesians 3. And this is actually a transcript. There aren't many of these in Scripture. So if you want to read a prayer, go and read this. That actual transcript of a prayer that Paul starts with. And he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. And it might not make sense to you, so I'll kind of explain that. In Jewish culture, what you would do is you would come into the room with your dad. And you would just go on your knees before him. And he would lay his hands on you and bless you. And then he would embrace you. He would lay his hands on you, embrace you, and then bless you. And for some people, that is so foreign. But if you have to understand God, you need to be healed of your past relationship. When you think about those father relationships, you got to be healed of that in Jesus' name. And then you have to come before him as a father who loves you, who wants to put his arms around you and bless you. You go before him as a father. And so Jesus, he's been there. When I approach Jesus, I know that he's been. And when I approach God the Father, he's so in love for you. I want this so desperately for you. So let me tell you who the Father really is. He's not this finger-pointing, hell, fire, damnation kind of monster who's just approaching. Psalms, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. This is like my favorite verse. He does not treat me like I deserve to be treated. I'm going to say amen for some of you people. He does not treat you like you deserve to be treated. I love this about our God. Instead, let's go on. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And this is not afraid. This word here is the same word that's used for worship. This word that's used for fear. To worship, adore, revere. This word, for those who come close, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. a father. You go before him. I tell you, if you get the right view of God, he's removed our transgressions. So when I go to God in prayer, when I lift up my hands, I refuse to beg in prayer because I know he's a good father who wants to give good things. And so when I go before him thanking. It says, with thanksgiving, bring your petition before God. Go before him, but don't go in there on your knees saying, don't hit me again. Don't do this. Don't do that. Go before him as a loving father who wants you to come and sit on his lap. He wants to put his arms around you. He wants to put his arms around you and love you. Man, God wants to have this relationship with you. Your view of God will change your relationship with him. And here's the last one. This is a completely different role. And this one may be, it may be the coolest. Are you ready? You ready for this one? Because the last relationship is the Holy Spirit. And for a lot of us, this is the one that we're just kind of, we don't relate to, or we're just iffy on, or we're just like we know, we have some movies about Jesus, so we know what he did, right? Now, I'm okay with God the Father doing it, but like, what about this ghost, right? Like, what about this Holy Ghost? Like, I'm not on, but like, can I just have two, right? Can I just two and be good with it? No, so I just want to explain this to you this morning. Are you ready for this? The role of the Holy Spirit in your life. Are you ready for this? This is so amazing in our life. This is the role. When the prayer meeting is over, he goes with you. Like he's the only one of these that you don't relate to just in prayer alone. No. You go into the prayer meeting. All right, the prayer meeting's over. Okay, Father, thank you so much for your extravagant love. And thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you. And Jesus, thank you for mediating. And thank you for that. I thank you and I worship you for that. And then the Holy Spirit says, okay, let's go live life. Let's go out and let's do this. Check this out. His actual name in scripture is Parakletos. It actually means the one who is called to be there beside you always and forever. The one that is called to be next to you forever. And so he goes out of the prayer meeting with you and he's there to counsel you. And he's that spirit that rests within you. That when you're about to do something, he said, okay, I got it. It's the power to do. We talked about the power to do the things that God has called us to do. That is the power. Acts 1:8 says, go, and he tells the disciples, go and wait until you have had the power from on high has been given to you. It's that one that goes out with you, the one that lives life next to you. So that's what prayer is. And you understand the grace of Jesus. You can't go anywhere till you get to the cross. And then you have to know about the love of the Father. When you get to him, he's not this fire-pointing monster. No, he's this daddy who just says, I love you and I want to bless you. I want to get close. And then this third one, you have to know, write it down and we're going to pray. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. And so just bow your heads with me. I pray for you, victory. Here in this room, every person, if you're watching or listening online, whatever it is, I pray for you. May the amazing grace of Jesus and the extravagant love of God the Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Christ Jesus. And the church said a good amen, amen. Guys, bow your heads with me this morning. I don't want to end the service without this chance. So let's bow your heads with me. Let's make some decisions based on these principles this morning. So Father, I lift up every person who's come here this morning, God. Every person in this room, God, who hears it, Lord, every person making decisions, God, as we go through these 21 days of prayer, as we get closer to day 21 and then day 22, you begin to speak with us and work with us, that we begin to have that aspect of the priority, God, that we set you first, and then we have the place, God, that we get alone with you and we pray. Father, I ask you that you just be with us, meet with us. Lord, that we go into it with a plan, that we come after you with our plan of prayer, God, and then I ask you, Lord, God, I thank you for the persons of prayer. I thank you for the Godhead. That, Lord, meeting with you relationally, connecting with you is the real goal. And so every head bowed, every eye closed across this room, I wonder if there's someone here. If you're saying, I'm not close to God. Like I hear those three things and I want to be close, but I'm just not. And I want to tell you, it begins with the cross of Jesus. The amazing grace of Jesus. You need that. Or I'll say it this way. If you have your guilt and your shame still with you when you came in here, you can't get free of it. If you still feel condemned, you still feel like you're carrying your guilt and shame, then that means Jesus hasn't taken it from you. And so with every head bowed, if that's you this morning, you're feeling like I haven't even got, that's what you need the first. Before anything else, before you ever get to the love of the Father or the friendship of the Holy Spirit, you need the cross of Jesus. And so I just want to give you that chance this morning. There's no reason for you to leave this service. There's no reason to leave this place without having given that guilt and that shame and laid it at the altar, given it to Jesus. There is no reason not to know the amazing grace of Jesus. And you can do that with one heartfelt prayer, one decision this morning. If you're there saying, I want to be free of this guilt, I want to be free of this shame, I want to be in a relationship with Jesus. If you say that, for some of you, it's the first time decision. For some of you, you've gotten so far from God. And you say, I want to have that relationship with Him again. I want to be close. Just be honest. This is not you and the person next to you. This is not you and me. This is not anything like that. It's between you and God. Just be honest with yourself. Have the dignity to be honest with yourself for one moment this morning. If you say, I want to be close to Jesus, I want to give my shame and my guilt, I want to be free of it. One heartfelt prayer. You want to pray it. If you want to pray it this morning, you can pray it right there in your seat. Just say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for paying for what I should have paid for. Today I receive what you did, and I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, changing me, living in me with all of my heart. I thank you. I'm going to live for you. Just begin to thank Him for that. Say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Now, I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to make it. Every head's still bowed. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I just wanted to, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to pray over you one last time this morning. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to pray over you. And so no one else is looking around, but I just want to pray over you. So if you prayed that, no hesitation this morning. If you prayed that, just lift your hand this morning. If you prayed that prayer, thank you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer, no, just no hesitation. Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray over you. Say, include me in that prayer. I just want to pray. So Father, for the hands that were lifted, God, for these three people this morning who made that decision, God, let them never be the same in Jesus' name. Let them know that their sins are forgiven, Lord, that they've taken the first step on the most important and God, the most exciting journey of their lives. Father, we thank you for them this morning, God, that their lives are changed. They've given them to you, that you come in and be Lord of their life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Church, join me in just congratulating those three. Man, those three who just made the most important decision of their lives.